Parak Dalad, Mishnah Ches. Hahal ve'asimcha shmona. The mitzvah of Halal and the mitzvah of Simcha was shmona, was for 8 days. So Halal is referring to that we would say the whole entire Halal. Right, normally on Rosh Chodesh, which is the most common occurrence of Halal, we say chasi Halal, half of Halal. There are parts that we omit. But on Sukkot, we say the whole Halal. And Simcha, joy, of course, is referring to being happy, but especially to the karbanos, the karban shlamim, which was called the shalmei simcha. They would eat their, they would make the karbanos, and they'd eat their meat. So the halal and the simcha was for 8 days over Sukkot. Ketzad, what was the breakdown? Melamed, we learn. Shechayev adzim b'halal b'simcha. A person is obligated in halal to say halal, and simcha to bring the karbanos, or nowadays it would be to eat meat and wine, to be happy, and to honor the last day of Sukkot, which is Shmini Atzeres, kishar kol imos chag, like all the other days of the chag. We learn this out from a pasuk of Vayisa Ach Sameach, that you should rejoice. That we learn now that just like on the 8th day, you have all these, you have these mitzvos of what? Of halal and simcha, right? So to on the rest of the days, you have halal and simcha. So it comes out, halal and simcha is for all 8 days. It's for the 7 days of Sukkot, and then the 8th day of Shmini Atzeres. So that's an easy one. What about Sukkah Shiva? When do you have a case where Sukkah is for 7 days? So Ketzad, what's the breakdown? Gamar Mila Echol, if a person completed his eating on the 7th day, B'yamashvi Shalachag, on the 7th day of Sukkot. So, Lo Yatir Sukkaso. Of course, you will not unravel or untie his Sukkah, or, you know, unassemble his Sukkah. Right? You can't do that because the mitzvah to sit in the Sukkah is still upon him the whole day. But he ate his meal already. So Alam Morad is a kelim. He can remove the kelim, the beautiful utensil that he would use for the holiday, mina mincha ulamala, from mincha and onward, meaning mincha and onward over here is referring to mincha ktana, which is 9.5 hours into the day. And from that time and on, he can start bringing in the plates and the cups and spoons and set it up for the next meal to honor the next meal. Okay, to honor the last day of the Yom Tov of the Chag, which is Shmini Atzeres. So it comes out that Sukkah is 7 days. Why? Because you're not that you're going to unassemble your Sukkah on the 7th day, but you're going to bring in your utensils that you're using to serve the Sukkah on the 7th day. So once you're doing that and you're preparing for the 8th day for the Shmini Atzeres, it shows that Sukkah is only going to be for 7 days. Explain over here in the Bartanura. Loyata, don't unassemble. Meaning, don't unassemble the sukkah, because the whole day you still have the mitzvah to sit in it, so you leave the sukkah as it is. But you can bring in your kelim, the utensils from the sukkah, or your mats, or your beds, in order to honor the Shmini Atzeres, which is coming up around the corner. Right? So it should show that you're making the krasa l'makom shiyaseh bo halayla. You're preparing for the place you're gonna eat that night for Shmini Atzeres. So it comes out that the actual mitzvah sukkah is for 7 days, and the 8th day would be Shmini Atzeres, a totally separate mitzvah, and that wraps up Mishnah Chas. One question that comes to mind is, I don't understand how they're saying over here, you could take out your utensils from the sukkah and get it ready for Yom Tov that night for Shmini Atzeres. We know that that's hachana, it's preparing. You can't prepare from one day to the next. And Shmini Atzeres is a totally separate Yom Tov from then Sukkot. So, yeah, I don't know where the Mishnah is getting this from. Of course, there's got to be a reason to it. But, you know, the question that arises is how are you preparing from one Yom Tov to the next, from Sukkot to Shmini Atzeres? It's a question to think about. But, of course, the Mishnah says that you can do it in this case. And therefore, Sukkot is 7 days. Then the 8th day would be Shmini Atzeres, which would be the following day. And that's Mishnah Chas. Mishnah Tess, and this is going to be the final Mishnah of the whole pattern that we were following since the opening Mishnah of Perek Dalad, of going through the different, you know, processes and different, you know, services they did on Sukkot, and how many days it served for. So now we're up to the final one, the Nisach Hamayim, the libations of the water. Ketzad, how'd it work? So the Mishnah tells us, Slocha Shel Zahav, there was a golden flask, Machzekes Shloshes Lugim, it would hold 3 lug. A lug is a quarter of a kav, which is it's half a liter. So 3 lug would be 1.5 liters. So they take these golden flasks that would hold 1.5 liters. Haibimali mina shiluach, they would fill it up from the shiluach, from a mayan, from a spring in Yerushalayim, they fill it up with water. Higiyu, the Kahanim and the Ha'am, the nation would come, La'achar, after they fill up these flasks of water, L'shar Hamayim, to the Shar Hamayim, the gate of the waters. It was one of the gates in the Azara towards the south, and it was called the Shar Hamayim, the gate of the waters, because it was through that gate that there would be machnitzim, they'd bring in these sloches, these flasks of water, for the Nisach HaChag of Sukkos, for the libations of water for Sukkos. We actually touched upon this in Masechta Shkolim, Perek Vav, Mishnah Gimel. Taku v'riu v'taku, they then blow the shofar, a tekia, a long blast. Heriu is a trua, a number of short blasts, and then taku again, a tekia, a long blast. To fulfill the mitzvah that the pasuk says, v'shaft and mayim b'sasot, you shall draw water with joy. So here you're doing the water libations, and you're doing it with joy by blowing the shofar. Allah, the Kohen that would, you know, merit to do this service, he would go up, but Kevesh, he would go up the ramp of the Mizbeach. Mizbeach had a long ramp, he'd go up the ramp, right? Shehoyah Bedroma that was on the south side. Upandal Smolo, his face was towards the left. Lekaren Maravis Droma was to the southwest corner. Because over there, in the southwest corner, they would do the libations. And then the Gemara, the Mishnayos, they teach a very important principle. We've actually discussed it in the past. We'll touch it upon it again. So the rule was, whenever you went up to the Mizbeach, whenever you went up the ramp, you always went up the right side of the ramp. It was a long ramp, and it was a wide ramp. So do you go off the middle? Do you go to the left? Do you go to the right? So the rule was, you always went up the right side of the ramp, the Derech Yamin, the right side, which was the Mizracho Shel HaKeves, the east side of the ramp. And then once you got to the top, you would walk around the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was square. So imagine you're walking up the right side of the ramp, you get to the top, now you're on the right side of the Mizbeach. So you'd make a full circle covering all four corners of the Mizbeach, right? And then you'd go down Derech Small, the left side of the Mizbeach, which was now your west side of the ramp. Okay? That was a general rule. So then you make a full circle and do a full circle over the Mizbeach. Except for three scenarios. What were the three scenarios? There were three scenarios that you went up literally on the southwest corner, meaning on the left side, and then when you got up to the top, you did an about face and came right back down that very same side. You did not make a full circle, right? You didn't start on the right side, go all the way up, you know, cross all four corners and come down the left side of the ramp. Rather, you went up the left side of the ramp, did what you had to do, did an about face, and went right back down that very left side of the ramp. What were the three exceptions? It was the Nisach HaMayim, libations of the water, Nisach HaYayin, libations of the wine, and the Akrevas Ola, and bringing the carbon Ola Sa'of, the Ola offering of a oaf of a bird, when there was too many oaf Ola offerings, too many bird of Ola offerings being done on the east side of the Mizbeach, they bring the remainders on the west side of the Mizbeach. Now, why would they do this? So for the Nisach HaMayim and the Yain, libations of the water and the wine, the reason why they would do this is because they were afraid lest the libations become smoky from the smoke on the altar, right, of the Mizbeach, and then it may, Shechoshim Shema Achi Yaakov Sam Mizbeach, and Yilagil Karim Tzudomas Maravas, Yitzkalkal Nisachim, right, Vainemar Tmimim Yulachem Nevinaskayim. Meaning, these libations have to be of pure, they have to be clean, they can't be dirty. And if you're walking up the Mizbeach and making a full circle, we're afraid that the smoke may come and, you know, destroy or mess up the waters. And the pasuk says, Tmimim, they have to be pure, the Niskeham, the libations, right? So whether they're of water, whether they're of wine, they've got to be pure. And if you're walking around the whole Mizbeach with them in your hands, they're going to pick up from the smoke of the altar and they're going to get ruined. So therefore, they went only up the left side of the ramp, got to the top, did the performance, and then went right back down on about face, so that it was a quick process. And then the third one, the Ola Sa'of, the carbon Ola of the bird offering, they had the same reason, because they were afraid that maybe if they went around the whole Mizbeach in a circle, that the bird might die from the inhaling of the smoke of the altar. So again, with these birds, they went up, you know, straight to the left side, did what they had to do, and then turned about, did an about face, and came right back down, because the birds were very sensitive to the smoke. It was a very small offering, they didn't want to die on the way up there. So those are the three exceptions, okay? Now, that being said, so when they got to the top, Shnei Sfalim Shel Kesef Hayusham, there were two flasks, two pitchers of silver that were there, at the top of the Mizbeach on the southwestern side, right, the left side, one for wine and one for water.
Rabbi Yehuda Omer, but Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Shal Sidhayu wasn't made out of silver, it was made out of lime, these pitchers. El Shal Yimushcharin Peneim Ibnei Yayin, but because sometimes they made a mistake, and they poured the wine into the water flasks, so it got stained and it looked like it was of silver, but really it was made out of lime. So there's a machlokas, a dispute, whether it was made out of lime, and it looked like silver, because sometimes they made a mistake and poured the wine ones into the water, or whether it was literally made out of silver. Okay, machlokas Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. Umunukavin kamin shnei chotamin dakin. These two flasks had these two like nostrils that were very, very thin. In each flask, they had these two nostrils. And then when the cone would pour into these pitchers, it would go out through these nostrils onto the roof of the mizbeach, and then from there down to the chalal, to the depths of the bottom of the mizbeach, that was called the shisin, which is the depths, and would go down, you know, underground. Now, these nostrils, these echad me'ube, so the flasks had their nostrils, right? Echad me'ube, ha'nekev shal sefel, shebo haya menaseh chasayayin haya abba. The flask that they would do the wine libations from, the nostrils were very thick. The holes were thicker. V'yechadak, but the nostrils, the holes in the flask of the water were thinner. Why? V'yishu shneim kalam b'basahachas. Because the wine, right, is thicker than water. Right? So if you want them both to be coming down at the same time, you have to make the wine hole a little bit bigger than the water hole, so that at the end of the day, they come down at the same time, because they'll, you know, the water travels faster. So the water flask had a thinner hole, the wine flask had a larger hole, so they come and meet at the bottom at the same time. Ma'aravi, the western flask, Hasefel, the flask that was towards the west, Shamayim, that was the one that was designated for the water. Mizrachi, Shayayin, the one on the eastern side, that flask was designated for the wine. And these flasks were right next to each other. It's just that one was in the west, and one was the western one was for the water, and the eastern one was for the wine, but they're right next to each other. Now that's what he was supposed to do, but what happens if Eir Shalmayim Tuch Shalyayin, if he made a mistake, and he poured the water into the flask designated for wine, or Shalyayin Tuch Shalmayim, where he pours wine into the flask designated for water. So Yatzah B'dieved, he's after the fact, he fulfills the mitzvah, it's not, you know, what he should have done, but if he did it, it's not invalid, he'll still get the mitzvah. This is the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. Yehuda Omer, Yehuda says, Belog Haya Menasech Kol Shmona. So Yehuda is going to argue on Tanna Kamma in two factors here. Number one, when they would do the libations, they would use one lug, meaning just half a liter of water, right, and wine, and not three lugim. So that was one area where he argued. And the second area where he argues is that the nizach of the mayim with this water was done kol shmonas miyachag, was done on all 8 days of the Yom Tov, meaning even on Shmini Atzeres. Not just in the 7 days of Sukkot, but even in Shmini Atzeres. Whereas the Tanakama held the libations were only done for the 7 days of the Chag, and not done on Shmini Atzeres. So Yehuda's arguing on two factors. And we don't paskin like a Yehuda, but that's what he argues on. That it was one lug, not three lug, and it was done on all 8 days, and not just on the 7 days of the Chag. And then finally, L'manasich Omrim Lo, to the one that was doing the libations, they would say to him, Hagba yodcha, lift up your hand, so that we should see that you're doing the wine libations and that you're pouring it into the pitcher, which is on the mizbeach, so that it leaves the pitcher and goes down to the depths under the mizbeach in the shitin. Why? Because one time there was a tzedoki. Tzedokis, they don't believe in the Torah, Shabbat Peh, the oral Torah, and they just do things that are written in the written Torah. And because of that, they have a whole corrupt way of how to learn the Torah. And they don't even hold of this whole process of the water libations. So when the tzedoki was up on the mizbeach, he just poured it all on his feet because he didn't want to do the mitzvah. And what happened? Ugamu kol ha'am b'esrogein. The whole nation pelted him with their esrogs. They said, you know, get this guy out of here. So in order that it doesn't happen again, whoever went up there, they said, lift up your hand so that we could see that you're pouring the water into the flask and after it's pouring it onto your feet to show that you believe in this mitzvah, that it's an oral mitzvah, and we believe in the oral mitzvahs, and not that you're a tzedoki who doesn't believe in the oral mitzvahs, they would be doing the wrong thing. So that was the process, and that wraps up Mishnah Tess.